Our word today is Joel 2:28. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. So we're going.
There is, of course, the handwriting on the wall. There is the wall of Jericho that came
either build up or tore down. It is a structure that has the power to divide. It provides a temperature barrier between the warm and the cold. We are also familiar with the famous walls of this world, the Great Wall of China, the Berlin Wall in Germany, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, and many more. Some are famous because they're still standing. Some are well known because they fell. Whatever function a wall may have, it is an identifier and a divider of what is and what is not. But I want to talk about a special place in this rigid structure. There is a place in this solid structure where activity takes place. It is a place identified as the gap. "I found no one" is one of the most chilling announcements from God, revealed to the prophet Ezekiel. God could not find anyone to stand in the gap that sin has made. No reformer, repairer, critique, or visionary who would endeavor to make up the breach against God's judgment. What deteriorated the wall of righteousness was the transgression of people who exceeded all boundaries of law and justice. I identify this transgression as unjust treatment of humankind, or the many faces of the walls of injustice, like racism, prejudice, ethnic conflict, colonialism, going on to sexism, homophobia, ageism, discrimination against disabled groups, stereotypes, just to mention a few. And the gaps I identify as the wounds that beckon to be restored from the constant rehearsal of this injustice. But I also want to highlight it as a place for hopeful creativity, a place where we are, as a church, called to stand. And what are prophets in the Bible calls to do? Stand in the gap in God's presence on behalf of God's people. In addition, the structure of Joel's prophecies follows a prophetic cycle, which has a sequence of weeping, a call to repentance, and then critiquing, and finally, envisioning. If we look at the sequence of our verse, we can see that the gift of the Spirit was contingent upon a fulfillment. In other words, the repentance and glorification of God was to precede the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we enter a phase of blood and fire and billowing smoke, where judgments are inflicted upon the enemies of God and the church. And this is all prior to hopes of the renewal. We can see here that prophets stand in the gap, also in between the interval space, a temporal gap between spaces and stages of change. As I was reflecting on this passage, I wondered, why did God pour out the Holy Spirit before a period of time that is clearly marked as a period of profound upheaval, a time of judgment, and ultimate restoration? Why was it poured out at that time, in that crucible-like stage, a situation of severe trial leading to a creation of something new? Because a prophet's role is to criticize, but it is also to energize. It is the role of a visionary to lead the church from current realities to mark new beginnings. It is to proclaim the need to disconnect from what we cling onto, our habits, in order to make new connections and look forward to the promises that lies ahead. We need to stand in that gap and witness the creative potential that emerged from the form of disidentification towards injustice. And during this time of transition, identify intervals, awakening visions, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to probe our spirits, shake us, uproot us, and expose the walls of injustice that stand both outside and within ourselves that meets our desire for change with rooted resistance. But how? How do we do this work? How? That's a very difficult question. What does this mean for our presbyteries? What does this mean for the Presbytery of Philadelphia? When we are asking critical and urgent questions about having a new future as a denomination, when we are experimenting with ways to provide meaningful leadership in a challenging time, how can we be dreamers and prophets shouting from that gap, that wounded place? One of the first things that caught my eyes when I visited the Presbytery of Philadelphia's website were these words: "The ministry legacy of the Presbytery of Philadelphia transcends brick and mortar." Wow, that is a significant statement, especially for the first and oldest presbytery in the nation of the PCUSA, that now serves approximately 130 communities of faith with more than 30,000 members. A ministry that transcends brick and mortar. How can we, how can this presbytery recognize the powerful opportunities that are before us while declaring with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit's boldness, that God is doing amazing work within us right now as we journey through these interval moments? In this moment where there's an explosion of spirituality and diversity in faith experiences, in the midst of the single narrative of numerical decline. In this moment when studies show that every single Christian denomination is increasing in its racial and ethnic diversity. In this moment when the outbreak of innovation in ministry are challenging us to see beyond existing ecclesial and theological expressions. How will we as leaders find liberating thresholds in between the walls of injustice to erect solid platforms of righteousness? There are no easy answers to this. And it often ends up sounding more theoretical than we want. But my suggestion is that we start with this. We must remind ourselves that we are created in the image of God. And it is important for us to see God in other people. Then we cannot help but stand in the gap for each other. Once we know that, we cannot help but engage in intercessory prayer. We cannot help but imagine walls that draw more inclusive boundaries. And that's a difficult task. And that is why we need the help of the Holy Spirit, to help us dream bigger, see bigger visions, to speak with authority, to speak in that gap, stand in solidarity at that place that hurts, in that place of transitions, in that place, in that wounded place that rarely people go. As we stand in the gap between conflict, different cultures and understandings of faith, learning how to possess the capacity to embrace both sides, and at the same time, we need to embrace others and ourselves, and believe that we are truly made in the image of God. As we stand and exercise incredible patience, when the fruits of our labor do not ripen to bear shape, color, or taste to our expectations. As we stand in the gap, to be culturally dexterous and humble, to engage with a new paradigm of ministry that is more inclusive and honoring of the diversity of God's creations. as we continue to stand and call for creative measures and the opportunities to shepherd an intercultural flock of sheep that demographically looks, acts, and seems like no other flock you've seen before. And as we stand and walk together in the journey of ministry, despite the obstacles of inequity, systemic injustices, uncertainties, budgetary constraints that make us go limp. And lastly, as we stand by the steadfast love and grace of God that help us recognize the cracks that we created. As we ask the Holy Spirit to help us embrace the fissures in each other's lives and to see the light that shines through those cracks, can we embrace that as we stand in the gap together as we live, sing, work, and pray. Let's think of the phenomenon of the midnight sun. The midnight sun is a natural phenomenon when the sun remains visible at midnight. And it happens in the summer months in places in the northern and southernmost regions of the world, with the light shining through what is known to us during the darkest time of the night. You can see the line between the sea and the sky blending in together, where in the darkness all that we would have seen is a wall of darkness. With the unusual glow, we're able to see things in a different light. What may have seemed impenetrable is now illumined in an array of colors. When midnight to us here on this side of the world is a time when we are cloaked with darkness. The visibility of the midnight sun is determined by when we decide to close our windows. It is a reminder that even after a deeply trying time like the one depicted in Joel, what seem like endless sequences of midnight, it's a promise of restoration and envisioning a better future. It shows us that it can coexist. It's a hopeful image that reminds us, yes, there is that promise. We have with us today two symbolic walls. In a way, it's an unusual wall, because I would think it's usually walls, when I think of it, as traditional walls with bricks, stones, wood. But the wall today is a visual reminder of a wall where the light of Christ shines through. We have prayers affixed to the wall, and we will continue after this to continue in that activity. And the light will illuminate them. We will remember that God shines through our imperfections. We will be reminded that the Holy Spirit will illumine our dreams. And our prayer will be illuminated in the face of our sisters and brothers. As I close the sermon, I would like to share my prayer with you. This is a song I wrote a few years ago in the languages that speak the closest to my spirit: Korean, English, and music. For me, it was a lament, and humble and hopeful attempt to exercise the prophetic function that my unique experience has, as somebody who has many heavenly identities, as a Korean, American, woman, immigrant, etc., etc. And also, very recently, somebody who lost a loved one.
The song is called Journey.
And if you know the mark,
The logo, it has three interlocking figures that represent the equality of all people without gender or racial bias. And the bright color palette is to suggest our active commitment. So let's think about that image of the midnight sun as we go forth from this place. As we sing together, lifting our spirits, hoping to shine like the midnight sun. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. May our ministry continue to transcend bricks and mortar. Amen.